There's a direct path every single one of you can take.
Well, I know this equipping for my mighty calling. Yeah, what might that be? Apostle, prophet, teacher, limit.
Sure, there's equipping for it. But there's also the anointing of the believer. To walk up and down the back alleys of Tulsa, and up and down the streets of the communities and in the gatherings. There's an anointing for the believer. In fact, most of the mighty miracles Jesus did wasn't in the synagogues. They were out with people who were sick. This is the anointing of the believer. These signs will follow them that believe. Come on. You weren't supposed to be trained just to sit in church. You were supposed to be trained to do what you're taught about every Sunday. Oh, it was a mighty miracle that Stephen wrought. How about let's preach about you a while? Do you know what that catcher did? What did he do? He just marched right into that house and emptied all the sickness out of it. And the next Sunday morning, every one of them was on the front row. Who did that? A deacon? A catcher? Won't you make it? You can be seated. Oh, I guess we better begin. Hallelujah, Jesus. Open up to Luke the 16th chapter. Hallelujah, Jesus. Something happened and I made an adjustment in my spirit again. And after the adjustment was complete, a dependency on the Holy Spirit had reached proportions that I'd never experienced before. Even though for 26 years, 27, they compiled everything we said about the Holy Spirit and prayer and revelation knowledge and Him as teacher and compiled it into that book, Walk of the Spirit. And you'd think somebody that spent 30 years praying the mysteries and receiving them answered. The mysteries of a God, of everything Christ is in you, to you, and through you, the hope of glory. Then you compile it into a book. You'd think that you know pretty much. Especially you yourself experience in a dependency upon the Holy Spirit. But then to have Him take something and confirm it and make an adjustment in me that brought me to another level. And I could sense these last few weeks He was wanting to confirm what had happened in me. So this dependency it caused on the Holy Spirit was so it was so revolutionary to me that it's like I thought I knew about born again until the born again trail. And so what He used to bring it together, I was trying to explain to you through a phenomena that I knew about, which is Ronald Coyne that had a plastic eye. And his plastic eye, suddenly, God gave him his vision when T.L. Osborne's sister prayed for him. And when he came to our little town, which was Oak Ridge, Oregon, when it came time to demonstrate his eye, I taped his good one shut. You know, you couldn't, there's no way he could see. And we put everything like tape over it. And then he pops his plastic eye out and held it up, and it was oblique. You could not see. You could let light through, you could see light coming through it, but you could not see through it. Yeah, when he popped that eye out, then he would open his eyes so you could see the back of his socket. So you would know that he was not pulling any kind of scam. So I'm bending down, looking up in that empty socket, you know. And then little did I know that he's looking down at me, you know. Well, he could read a driver's license. You could take your driver's license and he could read the driver's license. Yet he could pop that eye in, which you couldn't see through. And they could still see. He's gone home now. But I can remember different times preachers telling me about how he had been challenged by medical society, by this or by that, only for them to be the ones to get quiet about it. Because there was no explanation that could be offered, period. Period. On why he could see. Well, in Luke 16, we know that when you're separated from your body, we know when this happens, that your spirit man steps out. And he looks a lot like you. He'll grow till he's 33 and a half years old, because that's when Jesus was cut off as your substitute. So you'll never get any older. It's a good thing, isn't it? But you wish that had happened now, don't you? And I just love God's sense of humor. I just love it. You're not going to marry. You know, you don't marry in heaven, he said. He settled that issue when he wanted to know whose wife she would be. She had seven brothers. None of them she had any children by. So the Sadducees wanted to know. They didn't believe there's a resurrection, that there was one. They wanted to know if she's married to all seven when she got there, or just the one. He said, look, they don't marry or give in marriage when you get there. So you're in greatly error. Besides, I wouldn't even be thinking about who would be her husband in heaven. I'd be thinking about checking all the food she fed them. Isn't it a shame in heaven you're not going to get over 33 and a half? You're really going to look good, but it won't do you any good because you're not going to marry anybody. Well, just the proof here that when you step out of your body, you have all your body parts is proved right here. And beginning with verse 19. He said, a certain rich man clothed in purple and fine linen fared sumptuously every day. Don't you just love King James? That means he ate real, very high off of the hog. Fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with crumbs that fell from a rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, the shadow, the old type, Old Testament, heaven. He was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man died also. Notice this, he's buried. His body was left in the grave, and he went on to the other part of the lower parts of the earth. See, he went on to hell. And in hell, he says in 23, lifted up his. So you know your spirit man has eyes. We know that. And he had emotion here, being in torment, seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Now Abraham's bosom was that, the shadow of heaven. It was the Old Testament type. When he says he was in Abraham's bosom, it didn't mean that there's this giant rib cage and he lived inside of the rib cage and was peeking out between the ribs and in his bosom. He meant it was the Old Testament type of heaven, and he was living, embracing the promise that God had made to Abraham that in his seed it would number as the stars of heaven, sand in the sea, and all the nations of the earth would be blessed. They were resting in Abraham's bosom, or they were resting in that promise. Well, when Jesus rose from the dead, they all came out of this place. Hallelujah. But in 23, says, in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, seeing Abraham, Lazarus in his bosom afar off, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, would you have mercy on me? Send Lazarus that he dipped the tip of his finger in water. So we know people in heaven have fingertips. Maybe that's how we'll know as we're known. We'll fingerprint each other. Well, we know you have at least fingertips. And then he wanted his tongue to be cooled. Well, okay, we have eyes. People in hell have eyes and a tongue. He says, I am in torment in this flame. And Abraham said, son, remember, thou your lifetime received good things. Lazarus evil, but now he's comforted and you're tormented. He says, besides, this is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence or to go there can't, neither can they pass to us which would come from there. Well, then, of course, he switched the thrust of his begging because he had five brothers that lived in the same gross violation of the Abrahamic covenant he lived in. And he wanted Lazarus to raise and go tell them. And he says, oh, Abraham said he could go tell them, but they won't listen. You know, they won't listen. The rich man says, they had the law and the prophets. They wouldn't hear that because they was too drunk. They were too drunk on wealth, drunk on pleasure. Stepped over the Lazaruses of the world. Nevertheless, he said, if one rose from the dead, he says, no, they won't hear them either. They won't hear them either. But even though this is an incredible teaching, the only thing I'm after in this was the fact if I stepped out of my body, you wouldn't be able to tell a whole lot of difference. I mean, you'd look like you look now. People running around heaven, they're human beings. When you say, I am a spirit, I live through a soul in a body, you're correct. But I am a spiritual being, so are you. And if you separate me from this body and I was able to hold my spirit finger up, you can rest assured I have a hand just like this one and all the fingers and eyes and ears with holes in them. And nose, and mouth. You eat. You must have a stomach because you swallow the food. When Jesus was glorified, you know, he ate fish. And if the fish didn't get glorified with him because he ate natural fish, not glorified fish. Yet this body you're going to get is incredible. It'll span any of these two worlds. And also, walls or matter is no problem. When Jesus left that room after eating fish, the fish wasn't on the wall. Had to get through the wall somehow. It was glorified. The fish became part of his new creation. See, but my physical body, you know, if I stepped out of it, that one day you just take a step and your body doesn't come with you. You think, hey, you go. Something's different. Yeah, your body's laying back there. Oh, wait a minute, I was going to the store. Get up. What's the matter with you? I know I made a big speech to all the great-great-grandchildren. I know I told them I was leaving. I know that, but... Well, if I held my natural finger up and said, what's it made out of? You'd tell me. It's made out of electrons, protons, neutrons. Everything makes up the atom. Then it's made of compounds, you know, to cells, all the way to cells, to organisms. I mean, all the way to all of a sudden you're standing here. I mean, absolutely masterpiece. But if I held my spirit finger up, because you say I am a spirit, okay, thank you. I have a body, thank you. But first of all, I am a spirit. You say, you are a spirit. Yes, I am. Now, God did a miracle so you could see me standing here, my spirit man. And I held my finger up. What would you say it's made out of? I am a spirit. What did I say when I was in my body? Did I say, I am a flesh? I didn't say, I am a flesh. What's your finger made out of? Well, it's made out of cells and molecules. But now, I am a spirit. What's my finger made of?
Well, it's made out of spirit.
It would have to be because I'm spirit. Just like my body would have to be made out of flesh because that's what it's made out of. But that is my body. It's made out of flesh. I'm still me. This is my spirit, okay? But it's made out of spirit. It breaks down to fit finger to finger, probably even closer than that. Probably bone for bone, stomach for stomach lining, eye for eye. You even got a spiritual brain that your spirit eyes has to operate through. You have a spiritual brain that tells your hand to pick that up in heaven. And it picks it up. You have a spiritual brain that operates. Yet spiritual brain thinks, move forward, and you start walking. So you walk forward on what? Spiritual legs. And I think that you got more than that. I heard wild stories from people that been there, and they say, I just think I'm over here, and I'm over there. Well, you know, I just have a little trouble just believing that you think yourself into every quadrum of every place, you know. I think a lot of them has come back from heaven. I think they visited somewhere else. Doesn't line up too good what they're saying. One, he ended up to be a big phony, and they found out he didn't even go where he said he went to be a missionary. So. He said you'd go to sit down and the furniture would appear under you. I'm thinking, now this is, what kind of life is that? What do you think? You'd be his children in this whole world he created for you, which is a shadow? You think it's going to be so much different than that one? And when he's done, he's going to give you a glorified body that'll put every single one of us in a fellowship with him that's just incredible. It'll span both of these worlds, even though there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. You can rest assured when he is done, this creation we're going to be part of is going to be much, much greater than the one that we left. All rebellion will be put out.
But I want to be married. And
you must be young. I want to be married. I want to be this thing. I want this. I want that. The same God that created this order to replenish the whole earth for sons and daughters that he wanted to gather to himself by the untold billions. The same God that set this into order is the same one that's ordering that one. You don't know contentment and joy and pleasure. Same God that created everything you call pleasure here, just multiply it a whole lot and move there. And you're going to miss nothing that was here. Only thing that you might miss is knowing how everything that was available to you and knowing you could have tore hell up and delivered multitudes of people to God, and you missed it because you walked too much after the flesh.
Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Well, we're trying to remedy that now. We want our city. We don't want to play church. We want our city. Well, I hear it. You say, what's your finger made out of? Well, I am a spiritual being. So it would be made out of the building material of heaven that he makes his beings out of, such as angels and that. But the substance my spirit is made out of, in particular, my nature and who I am, has come from God himself. I wasn't created in the sense that he formed me and shaped me and particles came out of his fingertips like this. Oh, good effect. An angel was like that. An angel says, I need another quadrant of angels. Here they were, created for full service. They didn't have to grow up. They weren't chubby with wings that wouldn't hold them up. I knew that wasn't true when I saw the size of their bodies, the size of their wings. I knew that couldn't be. Little chubby little babies, little bitty wings that long. Kind of the bumblebee principle. It's... Science says it's impossible for the fat little body of a bumblebee to be picked up by those tiny little wings. Yeah. They say it's impossible. But he flies. Oh, yeah. Well, the same devil says it's impossible for you to get rich as an entrepreneur, doesn't it? But you're going to fly too, aren't you? So he didn't go. As the Father had life within himself, he gave to the Son to have life within himself. Well, in the way the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, you know what he displaced the spiritual DNA that would have made the baby and put his strand. And what God was channeled through. And Jesus was born. It was directed by a DNA that formed him. He wasn't created. He was formed. And when you were born again, the same nature that was formed in Jesus when he was born and then when he was quickened back to life after dying is the very same nature now that the Holy Spirit forms inside of you when he said, the wind bloweth, listeth, bloweth where it will. And he said, and so is everyone who's born of the Spirit. The same kind of breath that came from the inside of God. And when he formed Adam's body out of something that already exists for millennials and millennials, which is the universe. And throughout all our universe, it's a common substance. You know, we're finding the same ore samples, the same. Just like you know, it all had a same source. I wouldn't mind finding a secret gold planet to go back and forth a bit. But he formed his body out of the dust, the earth, and then when he got done doing that, he stopped. He stopped and he breathed in him breaths of life. He became a living soul. But you know, I think we're thinking that God went like this, flared his nostrils, and you know, held his mouth open. And then he goes, okay, breathe. You think that God is codependent on something he created? What is air, the only thing God didn't create because he's dependent on it? Or maybe in the eons of time, he got tired of not breathing and somewhere in our creation created air and then started breathing it himself. Or you think he breathes? Oh, his body has to be replenished by the oxidation system. I don't think so. The one who started breathing was Adam. And the reason is God reached on the inside of himself. Another word for breath is life. He reached on the inside of himself and took a life that was in him and breathed that into him with his first breath. Well, I'm a spiritual being. I have fingers. I've got a mind. My spiritual mind, if I was out of my body, I'd say, I'd think, I'm going to pick that up. And I'd go to pick it up, and it's only because my mind directed my hand. I'd pick it up. when I wanted to go somewhere, you know, I don't say, okay, one foot in front of the other, and then I think of something else, so I lose my train of thought. And then I said, what happened to me? Oh, yeah, next foot, next foot. I don't have to think of every step I take. Last thing I remember about going somewhere is I'm going to go over to that pulpit. I'm thinking I'll go back and read. I don't order my feet to go over there. I just all of a sudden go over here and don't even think about it. Well, that's how your spiritual brain order your spiritual body around. You'll run around and do things. Tremendous. You'll think, I'm going over here in heaven, and you'll walk over there in heaven. The same kind of spiritual brain will run your spiritual body. Now, here's the miracle now. When I have spiritual eyes that are in here, if I fall off of them, I'll still be standing here with eyes. Well, this is the thing that happened. And I don't know why I couldn't see it before. I think it's because of a series of visions I've become aware of and one that I had myself. The one I had myself was of my son, Steve. My son, Steve, had run off to Washington with the dope dealer. They both overdosed on a morphine party. And Steve's friend died. He's the one that found him dead in the bedroom the next morning. Shook him up. Well, the first time I saw the vision, I didn't see the bedroom scene. It was the second time, and that's when I was standing out talking to you. First time, I only saw the angel standing sentry with Steve. The second time, I saw the bedroom scene. I wouldn't care if I never saw that. Sets up and then stands up. Then he turns around and he's looking, and I could just tell by the information being fed to me that he thought he was on a trip. He wasn't on a trip. He died. When he turned around and saw his body, it wasn't until he saw that spirit that had his arms wrapped around his head that he realized he wasn't on a trip. Somewhere in there, he realized he died. Well, that time he started begging, and I got to hear some of the begging. He's 24 years old, but he wanted his mommy. This mom and dad were nominal Christians, just put your time in, go to church. Wasn't enough. He wanted his mommy. Well, Steve told me the rest of the story then. He said he tried to keep him awake by bringing him out where it was freezing and shaking him. He kept falling asleep in the party, and they'd get him up and bring him out and freeze him. He'd wake up a little. Finally, they thought, well, I guess we'll just let him go to bed. Well, the same thing was happening to Steve. He got real sleepy. But he was laying in one of the other front rooms, separate from the party room, another room. And all of a sudden, he was aware of himself floating up. When he looked over, he saw a glow through the wall and saw the outline of the angel that I had described. And when he did and he could see him then, the angel turned to him and yelled at him, get back in. Get back in. And he went back and got back in his body. Well, here's the point I'm shooting for. When Steve was disconnected from his body, he could see his body. He just looked back and you could see it. Now, how come when you step out of your body, how come when you're totally clear of it, that you can look back and see it? Yet if somebody pokes your eye out, how come you can't see through your spiritual eye then the same natural world that you can see when you step totally out of your body? How come? Just poke my eyes out, I can't see. Destroy my eardrums, I can't hear. Destroy my taste buds, I can't taste. Cut my arm off, I can't pick anything up. Shut my brain down, you'll put me into a coma. And I can't make contact with the outer world. How come? The same way my spiritual eye is utterly dependent, utterly, on my natural eye. But my natural eye uses my brain. My brain is the central computer or the apparatus that senses everything that's going on in my body. When I hear, it is hearing through an apparatus that translates sound to my brain that causes me to hear. It translates sight. If you destroy a part of my brain, I won't be able to hear that covers the hearing part. I won't be able to see that covers the sight part. So the same way my spirit eye is ultimately dependent on the natural eye and operates through it, my spiritual brain is ultimately dependent on my natural brain. There's a connection with it through the natural brain that everything feeds through the sense organs, because it's a natural world you live in, through touch, through eyes, through hearing, through tasting. Everything first feeds through your natural brain, then feeds through your spiritual brain. That's why without your natural brain and being connected up to it, all sense gates are shut down and you could go into a coma, be put there, not be aware in things going around you, except maybe some spiritual things, but you're not aware. So when I realized this, I realized how utterly dependent my inner man was on the outer man. Utterly dependent. Now, I was going to go on and teach this second half on the new nature that I received, a conscience that freed me from sin. What this conscience told me is the meanwhile, your conscience bearing witness, your thoughts accusing or excusing one another. He says, and the Ten Commandments became a law unto themselves because they become part of my nature. Well, the Ten Commandments is divided up into two parts. One is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. The other, your neighbor as yourself. And it's a list of things you do not do. Now, dost not covet, lie, commit adultery, murder, honor your father and mother, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. There shall be not take the Lord's name in vain, no idols. And to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And these 10 are divided into two parts. But they mostly speak of what you don't do to your neighbor, because what you're doing is wrong. That hatred and lust and lying and stealing. These things are all wrong. And to honor God, the only way we could have done that through the Ten Commandments and have no other God is to receive a nature like His and serve Him through it. So when you were born again, in your conscience, you received a new nature, but it mostly monitors sin. In other words, you can't tell me you don't know adultery is wrong after that, because the law become part. It was written in your heart and in your mind and become part of your nature. You can't tell me stealing is wrong. Or killing people is wrong. You can't tell me you could get down and worship something other than God and feel right about it. These things are wrong. But as far as knowledge goes, he said, my thoughts will bear witness, excusing or accusing each other. Meaning any thought my new nature accuses, I will not excuse. But when it comes to knowledge, like salvation and teaching us the principles and reading all about God and how we were saved and who saved us and all of that. These things we have to be taught, and we discern them. Incredible. So when we receive a new nature, we're supposed to be pretty aware of what's sin and what's not. But as far as the dependency to learn about God, we're almost totally dependent on the sense gates and somebody else teaching us who He is, what He is, or reading, and are at the mercy of the translation of whoever gave to us what we're reading. So we're totally at the mercy of the sense gate. Everything we learn comes from the outside through our brain, through our spiritual mind, and then in. And that's who we were at the mercy of. Where does that leave people? Where does that leave people? God knew that there wasn't a real good chance of making it, being totally fed from the sense gate in. Everything that we know had to come through our brain, then our spirit. We didn't have much of a chance of making it. That's why God took the third person of the Godhead and sent him to step in and begin to teach your spiritual mind from this side instead of this side, and impart revelation knowledge to you. So he begins to teach your mind from the inside, which begins to move on the outer man outward instead of being at the mercy of the outer man teaching and moving on the inner man. When the Holy Ghost come, and God still knew we'd be even dumber than that. He couldn't get us to pray. Carnal appetites of the flesh. Couldn't read if we could. No Bibles. That's the early church. He says, look, I'll take this even further with you. You're my family. I love you and I'm going to do what's best by you. One member of the Godhead supplied the life you were born of. The second member paid the price, so you could be quickened together with him and receive the same nature he has. Now the third one says, what's my part? And the other two said, we'll think of something. They said, oh, we know, but we'll let you do the work. Why don't you do the regeneration of the spirit? He says, and even more than that, why don't you go ahead and just baptize their spirit? Why don't you become their teacher? What do you think Jesus said? When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he'll guide you into all truth. He'll not speak of himself. He'll receive a mind showing you. Why would one of the last things he said before finishing his journey to the cross would to guarantee you that a teacher would come? Why would he think it so imperative and you have such a dependency on a teacher? Who better than the Holy Spirit, who's from heaven, to teach us about heaven? So the third person, nothing diminished whatsoever from God. Nothing diminished. Absolutely tri-equal with the other two members of the Godhead. Jesus gave the promise and said, he'll receive the standing I have as the firstborn, and you'll have a new nature. And he'll step into you and he'll guide you into all truth. Why did he deem it so necessary, you being born again and imprisoned in a body that has yet to be redeemed and be totally at the mercy of the input of the sense man to feed your spiritual mind outward in? He said, we got to do something about this. So he sent the Holy Spirit, and through praying the mysteries of who Christ is in you, these mysteries will suddenly go off in your spirit and begin to illuminate your spiritual mind, and he'll move on your outer mind until you're walking in the outer world from a revelation you received in an inner world. Not only that, men that went before you and did this thing through a written sense testimony of Jesus, the teacher, the Holy Spirit, who he told his own disciples, they said, you can't bear these things now, but when he, the teacher, has a hold of your new nature, you'll understand my crucifixion. You'll understand everything I did for you, every parable I taught. Write it down. Future generations, they can feed their sense man with the canon of the scripture, and I'll send the Holy Ghost. He'll teach them from the inside out, and the word will invade their senses from the outside in, and maybe a handful will come to the fullness and shake their generation. You got that? Now he said to me when that was over, when I understood it, disconnect. Not until you disconnect your spiritual brain and the body falls off of you, is he no more limited first through the outer man, through all the motor skills, and then through the spiritual brain. He's not limited to that. Your body falls off of you. Suddenly he's out here operating on his own. Everything comes online. That's why you can see into the natural world, because you're no longer dependent on that brain that just fell off of your brain. Totally disconnected. Now all the eyes come online, except you might see this world, but just don't try to pick something up. He'll give you a glorified body and fix all that. If this body he's going to give us, it'll work in both worlds. See, he said to me, are you ready for this again? Now, this isn't what Catherine knew. Catherine Kuhlman. She couldn't, like, break your Bible out and say what I just said to you. But she somehow made a journey to the dependency upon the Holy Spirit that I just outlined from His Word. She had a totally, utterly abandoned herself to a dependency upon the Holy Spirit. And He said to me, there is one realm of the supernatural like that. From the dependency upon Him, He says, that can't be had any other way. But He says, if you understand this dependency on Him and who your teacher is. Because I always wondered, I sat under a man who I just revered as a teacher. But one day he would teach something so good, if he said, boo, I'd fell off my chair on the floor. That's how good it was. But the next day he'd get up and say things so stupid I was embarrassed. And the Lord cleared it up for me. He says, he's at the mercy of his own intellect. Sometimes he gets it right. Sometimes he gets it wrong. When he gets it wrong, he doesn't know the difference. But once the Holy Ghost establishes himself as your illuminator and your teacher, he'll not let one single fiery dart penetrate your heart. Okay, how many is more dependent on Him than ever this morning? How many is going to possibly, maybe, if you're not too busy, it's not too much trouble, and if you happen to have the time and nothing else was going on and it was totally convenient and nobody was bothering you and you absolutely had nothing else to do, that you may pray more in tongues a little than you used to. You say, well, we lost a punch in the long, outdrawn explanation. Hallelujah! Supplied a language of revelation to even provide for the guarantee of being illuminated and moving on your natural mind outward to learn how to operate in this world. From a teacher, a supernatural being that has took your nature and your spiritual mind underneath His tutelage. Holy Ghost taking you under His wing and saying, I'm going to teach you how to operate from this world in that natural world. And when you hear what I have to say, you will dominate.
I suddenly am going to make time in my busy schedule to pray just a little bit more.
Good thinking, Gertrude. All right. You have till 10 after.